fear, the big dogs are here. Matt Eichhorn, Jordan Flegel, recapping the midweek of the NBA schedule. Coming at you guys on a, I guess I shouldn't say a snowy day, because I don't really know what the weather's like in the big city of Toronto these days, Jordan. But down here in Sarnhol, we actually we got peppered pretty good the last couple days. Very odd. Usually this is like the tropical southern point of Ontario. We don't really get too much snow, but seems like we're actually getting hit a little bit this year. Global warming, is it real? Who knows?
Yeah, well, we've got snow here in Toronto, believe it or not. More, I swear, already more this year than like all of last year. Like it felt very, very mild last year. But yeah, we've got snow, which is nice. And we got a white Christmas here as well. I'm sure we talked about it. But we've had snow here pretty consistently for the last little bit. So I'm into it. I'm back on the, in case anyone cares, like I said a few weeks ago for New Year's, did some snowboarding. I'm back on the snowboarding train.
Oh, all fuck.
My whole FYP is now snowboarding videos, so I'm going to have to rope some people in. Me and producer Alex used to snowboard, so I'm going to have to float that idea by him. And Matt, we need to get you on a pair of skis, on a board, something.
Buddy, I told you, I used to shred a little bit back in the day.
Let's do it.
So yeah, we could definitely get a little, we need to, do you know anyone with a chalet or something that we could rent or just borrow? That would be nice. Make a whole weekend out of it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we have the money to do it as we've
100%. Might as well. We should just purchase one.
Yeah, why not?
Laughs in upper class. Yeah, it's a snowboarding is a very interesting one, Jordan. You know, I wouldn't call myself a Shaun White. Don't know if I could even like I remember trying to go off like a little tiny jump one time, and I don't even think I got in the air. I think I just fell right when I got to like the peak.
Yeah, so, it's not for everybody, man.
No, definitely not. Don't go if you have food poisoning. Yeah. Word of advice. But. As we said, this is a hell of a weekend. You know, weather and snowboarding aside, lots of action going on across the NBA. Tons of hockey all day. We've got the big UFC event. I was telling you about some craziness over there for any fight fans listening. And of course, we've got NFL playoffs this weekend. Going to be a lot of great matchups. I fucking hope the Chiefs lose. Really, really hoping they lose. By the time anyone's listening to this, that game will probably be over.
Yes.
Hopefully they have lost, but I guarantee it'll probably be like 16-13 and the Chiefs will get like a holding call with like 4 seconds left in their favor, pass interference,
and
get a chip shot field goal to win. It'll be bullshit, whatever.
And then they'll pan up to Taylor Swift clapping in the box. It'll be fantastic. I think I've seen this before. Also, today officially, again, in case anyone cares, I'm back on the college basketball sort of my attention has actually shifted there. This is the first day I was watching a little bit of college game day. We've got some good games on. I think Kentucky Alabama going on right now as we speak. That's coming up. March is coming up faster than I realized, but shout out the college basketball landscape as well.
Hey, Cooper Flagg, he's doing his damn thing, man. Like he's going to be the Wooden Award winner.
Yep.
And
great
he's
Raptor.
A freshman,
he's going to be a fantastic Raptor.
Oh yeah, 100%. You don't want to go to the Wizards. Fuck that. Jordan Poole will ruin him. But let's get into it, Jordan. Enough of priming all the schedules for these big leagues and all these future millionaires in college. Let's talk about the NBA. Friday night, good amount of action here. And the first the thing we really want to talk about, the Memphis Grizzlies getting the win over the San Antonio Spurs with no Ja Morant. And this wasn't just a win, Jordan. This was a dominating performance on the road, 140 to 112. And, you know, this has kind of become commonplace with the Grizzlies. They just always seem to find a way to win the game. A really good complete team effort across the board. You had multiple players over 20 points. You know, the Grizzlies, I do think, are kind of in an underrated situation at this point of, you know, developing talent, making sure that guys are they're getting the most out of their guys. Obviously, the defense has been solid this year, but the offense has also been amazing. Top pace in the NBA, leading the NBA in total points per game as well. And again, they're doing this without Ja Morant in the lineup semi-often. And this is something that we've seen even in the past when they finished in the top of near the top of the Western Conference a couple of years ago. When Ja Morant was out, they still never had any problems. And, you know, as great as the Grizzlies have been, the other side of this is a bad look for the Spurs. You know, a team that we kind of were saying, you know, they were flirting with playoff contention. You know, we thought maybe this would be the year. You know, Wembanyama has looked phenomenal in his own right. Obviously, still has some things to work on, especially when it comes to, you know, his inside presence, his inside game, but still a solid season, probably going to be an all-star. But you got to think, this Spurs team, they're really letting this slip away because they're 12th in the West right now. They're two games below 500. And a loss like this on your home court in a game that you probably should at least be competitive in, especially they had a pretty good matchup earlier in the week. I do think that the alarm bells should be kind of ringing a little bit here in the Spurs organization because they still are holding on to all these other young guys that they've been saying for fucking God knows how long that they're all going to be good and turn into all-star type guys like Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell, Trey Jones. Like, none of these guys, they're all role players at this point. I think they need to kind of figure out a way to really build around Wemby now. You have Chris Paul. I think maybe a move is imminent for the Spurs. Maybe they go after Jimmy Butler. Who knows? But I do think this team still has playoff potential, but they got to figure something out soon.
Yeah, I mean, 100% they do if they want to. Like, I think they do want to this year sort of get at least into the play-in and try and make the playoffs just to get, if anything, just to get Wembanyama some experience in there. If they want to do that, it does look like they'd probably be wise to make some sort of move. Like, I don't think they need to do too much. They don't have to do anything crazy to improve significantly because, you know, like we were talking about there a little bit off camera, like they to start the season, they looked quite good. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a mix now of some of these vets that they brought in, you know, whether it's Barnes or Chris Paul, and you know, they've got their young contributors, but they still look a little bit shaky when you're looking at them as any sort of real playoff type team. But you know, like I joked about Jimmy Butler a couple weeks ago to this squad. Like I wouldn't hate that. Like depending on what you would give up, and depending on if you think, oh, we should sort of keep our draft capital going forward here. We might still be at a point where we're trying to improve through the draft. I don't really know where their head is at from in that respect. If they think they can sort of wait one more year to really take off and put real talent around Wembanyama. But I think the consensus, like everyone who watches, you know, every expert that I hear talk about it, and I think you and I are on the same page about this too. Like Wembanyama is good enough now. He's good enough now to go, like go for it. Like I wouldn't wait any longer. I don't think you need any other sort of these years where it's just like, oh, he's just going to feel it out. And you know, we'll see where we go from there. Like I think he's shown that he's good enough that as soon as you start putting real players around him and you're already seeing at that this year that they're hovering around 500, like this can be a good team. So yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to them looking around, trying to upgrade here, send out a few of their younger guys, because they also don't need so many of these sort of guys who I like you said are kind of young players whose ceilings are just sort of role guys. Like, again, Keldon Johnson, I'm still so lukewarm on him. Like, I know
they're not even that young anymore. Like, all these guys, like they've had their time, they've had to develop, and these have been bad Spurs teams the last couple of years. It's not like they haven't had a lack of opportunity to prove themselves. I really do think this organization, ever since, you know, the DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge teams kind of evaporated, they've just been bad, and I think that is just because they haven't hit in the draft really with anybody. I think the only guy you could maybe circle as like a piece of these young guys you could kind of continue building alongside Wemby, because they also seem to play very well together, is Sohan. So and he's been out for a little bit now the season. So I'm very interested to see, who they want to go forward with. But again, I think maybe you could trick some of these other teams into taking two or three of them in exchange for maybe some kind of disgruntled player. Hey, who knows? Maybe I know he'd have to waive his claws. Maybe Bradley Beal would be interested in taking his services to San Antonio. I think that would be an interesting fit next to Wemby as well. I know that it's not really the sexiest pick, but Cameron Johnson over on the Nets, that's an actual youngish player that I think would actually pair really well in that Spurs lineup next to Wemby. So I think it would be very, 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 very smart for them to go after it this year, especially when you consider the injury history with big men, especially skinnier guys like Wembanyama. I think I would like to get the most out of him while you can. just in any kind of God forbid situation happens where he goes down and he's never quite the same dynamic unicorn that we've kind of grown to see.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think they also need a closer. Like, that's one thing that you need if you're trying to go from a decent team to an actual threatening team. Like, that's why I like the idea of Jimmy Butler for them. That's why even like De'Aaron Fox, who's, you know, obviously the Kings are playing better now, so those rumors have kind of died down of him maybe going somewhere else. But I like that as an idea too, because that's the last thing Wembanyama hasn't added to his game, and I think might take a while for him, is like at the end of a game, where are his spots on the floor? What shot is he searching out to go and get? Like, he's still experimenting out there offensively. But again, defensively, he is the absolute runaway defensive player of the year pick. He's averaging some ungodly amount of blocks per game. Like,
defensively, I think he had six blocks in that last game against the Grizzlies.
Yes. Yeah. Here, let me confirm. Yeah. Six blocks. It just insane. And that's an average day for him. And, and you know, it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. The probably fucking six or more times in any given game where he completely alters a shot that might as well be a block. The guys just, you know, get in there and don't even attempt it. And he's the only guy in the NBA who has that type of effect. So again, he's a dominant player, but similar kind of to Giannis when he was first coming up, it's like, well, he needs someone at the end of a game to go and finish things off, because that's really not his strength. And I don't think that's coming really anytime that soon. I think it's going to take him a few years to establish sort of into that. So, you definitely don't want to rush things, in the sense that you don't want to make a move that's going to be counterproductive. But I do think, with a lot of these younger guys, you know, you've seen enough. Like, and Vassell also, sort of the jury's out on him. He's 24 now, so he's kind of still young-ish, and he's a three-point threat. But in my mind, I'm like, if he was really going to pop, like really, it might have already happened by now. Like, I know he's decent, and the guy, you know, San Antonio likes him, but I think you can probably upgrade there. And you've got Stephon Castle, who I think the organization believes in to really come along in that backcourt. He's learning from Chris Paul right now. And you mentioned Sohan there, like he's going to be a good sort of role connector between Castle and Wembanyama. So
yeah, I think is going to be a hooper as well. I didn't really mention him, but
yeah, 100%. So it might just be those two guys with Wembanyama that you are like those. To be honest, those are the only guys I'm like, yeah, keep them for sure. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, go shopping, see what you can get, and don't like. We say it time and time again. Do not assume you're going to have all these shots at the title. Don't assume, like you're saying, Wembanyama is going to be healthy. I'd say when you've got a generational guy, go for it. Don't waste time.
Well, I got one little on-the-spot trade. I just drew this up.
Here we go.
Let me know what you think. And I think this one would just be fucking crazy because of the view of it all. But I actually think could work with this team. And it would just be like one of the most daunting lineups, I think, to face starting fives when you kind of include this guy in there. So Spurs trade Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson, which, holy shit, man. Devin Vassell's getting paid almost $30 million a year. That's fucking
they
nuts.
Like him, but
holy. Vassell, Keldon Johnson, and then you can trade your first round, the Spurs first round pick this year. And they also own the Atlanta Hawks unprotected first round pick this coming draft as well. So you can those are two juicy potential first round picks.
Yep.
Those two first round picks, Vassell, Keldon, for Lauri Markkanen. What do you think?
I love it. I'm pretty sure
they're one of the worst teams in the league right now.
I'm pretty sure technically Lauri can't be traded to the offseason, which
true,
sucks.
Yeah,
but
I think it's February 3rd is the
is it okay? Maybe okay. Maybe it's
I'm not sure. We were saying the deadline's a little earlier this year, I think.
Yeah, well, but something about I seem to remember something about the way his extension works or something. He was not eligible, but in any case, and I also all these things. There's so many things that are in effect and then get lifted at certain points. But even if it was in the off season, like I like that a lot. And if you're the Jazz again, like I think it's a lot of posturing to what they've said publicly about Markkanen, saying they they want to keep him, yada yada. Like he has no place on that team. Sort of long term. He's too old to be part of an actual rebuild. And I think they're just trying to sort of pump him up and are waiting for an opportunity, kind of like this, you know, with Vassell and Johnson. You've got some decent guys. Maybe you can flip later. You can just sort of bring in and like you said, it'd be more about the draft capital that they're getting back. But Markkanen at the four next to Wemby. I really like that. That is a super modern.
Play him at the three, and you got Sohan still at the four, and then you got Chris Paul, right. Stephon Castle backcourt. Like that's a freaky lineup.
Yeah, 100%. And I love Lauri Markkanen. I have been vocal on here saying if he was is tradable this year, he could swing the title race, I think, depending on which team he goes to. Like, I've always thought him in New York would be an incredible fit. You know, there's lots of places he could go, but yeah, Spurs, that would be interesting. That would be fun for sure.
Well, we'll keep an eye on if the Spurs can do anything to bounce back, as well as the Grizzlies as they continue to maybe flirting as a dark horse title contender this season. We'll wait and see. I mean, I would be down for it. I've always been a big John Morant fan, so we would like to see him get a deep playoff run as well. Them and the Rockets both, I think, deserve a lot more love than what a lot of NBA community has given them. But moving from, you know, teams that are potentially contenders, let's talk about probably the contender right now in the NBA. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder. We talked about it a little, I think it was the last Monday's podcast. The Cavaliers edged them out in a really great game. And OKC said, you know what, we took that one personally, and they went out there on Thursday night and absolutely shellacked them. 134 to 114. Just a masterclass from SGA. Another fantastic game from the likely MVP front runner. 40 points on the night. Only 5 free throws. Again, I always like to point out the free throws. Everyone always wants to say SGA is some kind of a free throw merchant. 40 fucking points on 5 for 5 free throws. A super solid game from him. Obviously, you get a lot of contributions from your bench unit. Brandon Carlson, shout out to you, man.
There he is.
Really new to the lineup. 11 points in this one as well. And the Cavs just didn't have an answer for OKC. And I think that this was one that OKC knew they needed to get the win. Based on how close they came to getting that win on the road against the Cavs. And again, in a battle of two of the heavyweights in the NBA right now, the Thunder looked really strong in this one.
Yeah. And you know, we talked about the matchup last time, as you said, that was a close game, came down to the wire. Obviously, there was no Chet in that initial matchup, but they did have Hartenstein, but no Caruso. Now things a little different. They have Caruso back, but Hartenstein's out, so they're playing with they're two main big men without them at home. You're thinking, okay, the Cavs really can take advantage of this. But they
one
you know,
of the bigger
a lot
teams
of the game,
in the league.
Yeah. But you know, a lot of the game, the Thunder go small, which again, they've had to experiment more with this year than I think they would have liked, but it's a real weapon for them with how fucking active they are defensively. When you have guys like Caruso out there and Dort, obviously, and Cason Wallace, who got the start in this one, Jalen Williams, they just fucking swarm guys, like especially big men. Anytime you one of them were to get the ball, whether it was Allen or Mobley, like they just absolutely made their lives miserable, just swiping at everything, and then getting out in transition the other way. Like they really can, you know, like a lot, you know, any contender, you've got to be able to play a lot of different ways. The Thunder can play any which way you want. If you know, when they're fully healthy, they can be as big as anyone. They are totally happy though going small. In the way that they did in this one, and Brandon Carlson though, Jesus Christ, coming out 11 big fucking points, in only 17 minutes, he was great, 3 for 6 from the 3-point line, just a guy they picked up off of whose fucking G League roster, the Raptors, for God's sake, gets him off of the 905, he's sort of a modern big man who can obviously shoot from the outside, he rebounded a little bit. In this one as well. And that's just crazy that they have that option when their two, main big guys are out. They still have someone who is productive that they can go to as a rookie. It was a great showing from him. And that's all that they needed. Just one little contributor there in the front court. Then everyone else was able to take it home. And SGA, like those 40 points, that was basically in 3 quarters. Like they had this game wrapped up. He was just once again showing that he is probably the most unstoppable perimeter player in the league, which, you know, I think you could maybe give him, you know, that title last year as well, but I think he's really solidified it this year. There's just no one, you know, I don't care what defense and what players he's going up against. He can slither to the rim and finish there creatively, you know, with either hand. He's just absolutely in incredible showing yet again from him. Runaway MVP favorite, I would say, at least right now. You get fucking a 6-for-9 from three showing from Lou Dort, looking like a fucking sharpshooter out there.
He's been hot from deep lately. He's crazy. He's proving me wrong. That's the one thing I said. He's kind of holding them back offensively a little bit. But yeah, if he can shoot 40% from three, I mean, fuck this. I know last year he had a career best
and then he
flamed out in the playoffs. But if he can carry this into the postseason, man, yeah, that one of their only few weak points I could ever point out is gone.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, they're just, everything's working for them. And I think, you know, they didn't like, again, when they went into Cleveland and lost that game, whenever that was last week, you know, it was a situation where I was like, this doesn't really feel like a loss because, again, you're missing some important guys. You're out on the road. You still keep the game close. But clearly they took it as a loss and really wanted to make a statement like, okay, Cleveland's getting a lot of talk as, you know, the best team in the NBA record wise through this period. You know, they got the better of us, but, we're going to come out and just eviscerated these guys, right from the second quarter onwards. And then, you know, I think it's worth saying on the Cavs side, you're looking at this and it's like, you know, like we talked about with the Cavs last time. They're great, especially offensively, but you know, when you look at their depth on the wing and how they're going to stop, you know, especially great perimeter players like Jalen Williams, like SGA, and like the guys in Boston, you know, anyone they're going to see through the Eastern Conference playoffs as well. Who's your stopper? Who is your wing stopper? You do not have one. I like Isaac Okoro more than most people, but he is no one's all NBA type defender. So that might be something they need to address because
find Matisse Thybulle. That guy always finds his way onto a fucking all defensive teams.
That's very true. I'm sure they could go get him if they wanted him.
Is he still in Portland's? He's not even playing.
No.
I know he was injured at one point, but yeah, fuck. I shouldn't say fuck Matisse Thybulle. It's not your fault, but fuck the people who have voted him all defense multiple times when he had no business being up there.
I know. It's unbelievable. In this one, OKC doing what they do. Cavs, maybe a little bit of cause for concern here if you're looking at how they're going to stop the best players in the NBA from scoring against them. That's still their weakness.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I feel like every single time we have any segment on the show now, this is always what comes up because it is still one of the hottest stories in the NBA. You know, Jimmy Butler and his availability again.
I think he looked great on the Cavs.
Yeah, we floated that out there that would be a really, really nice fit. Again, one of the better defenders across the NBA, even at you know, his advanced age. I think that would be a perfect fit, and they've got enough assets and I think enough of a winning potential that they should get in on those sweepstakes, but. I mean, it's very interesting. Yeah, Jimmy back on the court now, also with the Heat. Who knows how this is all going to end up working out? You know,
or
one day they say
back to maybe LeBron. Could we get LeBron in Cleveland
again? I that would be the reunion. Fucking dream. I mean, we said, you know, LeBron still playing at an elite level right now, but maybe not quite the defender he used to be.
He won't help your defense, but you know, it'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, it'd be sick. Give him one more chance. Cleveland, this is for you again. but you got to get Bronny. If you're going to trade for LeBron, you got to get Bronny too. So make some room on that bench. We'll keep a close eye on the Cavaliers, seeing if they can make another move down the stretch of the season, see if they can find a way to contend. Because I do still think Boston is probably the better team. You know, obviously the record, Cavs have a much better regular season record right now than the Celtics, but I do think that if it comes down to another 7-game series, I don't think that the fully healthy Celtics are going to fall to this version of the Cavs team. I still think it would be
a good
series. The
Celtics have looked shaky recently. The Raptors got on the other
side. Very true. Very true. I would love to see an OKC Celtics finals with OKC winning. But at the other side of it, I also wouldn't mind just seeing Boston not get that far. Fuck the Celtics.
True. Yes.
Speaking of fuck, and then insert a team you don't like. Let's talk about fuck the 76ers. This is going to be very hard to listen to, more than usual, I guess, on this podcast. This is a segment about a player that we've shunned. So we can't actually say their name, but number 21, the former MVP on the 76ers.
From Cameroon?
Yes, but he plays for the United States men's basketball team. He's gold medalist this year. But he also wanted to play for France. Bit of a homie hopper. But this former MVP has been now ruled out for at least a week and a half, 7 to 10 days, due to increased knee swelling. Oh my God. This is just like again, a team that you pegged to potentially go to the finals this season.
Oh, fuck, I think
I had them in my conference finals. Like this team, it on paper seemed like it was going to be a juggernaut. You know, the way things could go, but once again, completely being derailed by injuries. Paul George obviously has not looked anything like what we thought we were going to get from him. He's kind of been like, I don't even know how to describe him. It's been like the drop off has been crazy. Too many podcasts. I'm not really sure.
He's bored playing the five with Embiid out. That's the problem.
Well, that's crazy that they actually did that. Because Paul George has vocally said he hated playing the four.
I know. It's one too much. Nick Nurse, though, he likes to get creative with it, I guess.
Yeah, creative is one way to put it. Yeah, for sure. I know Drummond was also out, so they really did. It was slim pickings, but my God, Paul George at the five. What a life we live right now. Yes. But even without the he who shall not be named in the lineup, you know, the 76ers have, you know, they've put up fights. They've tried to, you know, make things close. You know, they've actually had quite a few injuries, like a lot of other, you know, big name players. Kyle Lowry out right now. What's his name? The rookie Jared McCain, pardon me. He's out for the rest of the season. He was looking like one of the best rookies in this class. So I think this is just kind of a season from hell for the 76ers. They kind of were going on a bit of a run there. We're making a push there to get into that play-in spot, but now they're sitting a game and a half back from the Bulls. They're on a four-game losing skid, 3-7 in their last 10. Like, do you think there's any way that they can salvage the season, Jordan? Because to me, like, I know we've kind of talked about them before. I do feel bad as a basketball fan because I do think that they had so much more to offer us entertainment value-wise and giving us good matchups with big-name players. But it just seems like this is going to be, one of the worst seasons they've had in a while. And again, potentially that first-round pick might even end up, depending on where they finish, get delegated to the Thunder, which is insane.
Yeah, it's we talked about the Clippers situation here when Paul George and Kawhi were there through those years, and as I think Kawhi got a lot of the blame because he was out a lot of the time, and you know we know all the issues that he presents to your team. Maybe it was more so Paul George, or just as much Paul George the whole time with his inconsistent pandemic play, P. both in the playoffs and out of the playoffs. Yep. The fact that he also misses time, the fact that, this isn't the first time he's complained about what fucking position he's playing. I'm like, that's the last thing I want to hear from, my star player, second best player, whatever you want to call him, that he's talking about that he's bored. Like this team that's 9 games under .500 now at this point, talking about anything other than just trying to fucking climb and scratch and claw your way up the standings. I would want my player to do like, fuck it. Yeah. I'll coach the team. I'll play any position you fucking want. That's what a competitor should want to do. Not at this point. Like it'd be one thing if they were the second seed and he was talking about that, like that's a completely different thing, but that just pissed me off. And that's such a Paul George thing to say. And like I said, at the beginning of the season, when it first started going badly, the first signs of things looking like they weren't going to work out for this Sixers team, which, as you said, on paper looked great. I really thought they were going to be a top four lock, even with those guys missing time. I really liked how they filled out the rest of their roster. You know, a big believer in Maxey, you know, all that. We've said it all before. But Embiid and Paul George, sorry, fuck, the guy, number 21, bleep that out.
Someone was going to say it.
And Paul George are way too similar. They're both fucking annoying crybabies who are super mm-hmm. fucking entitled, or at least how they that's how they come across. You know, they've made a lot of money with no fucking playoff accomplishments to show for it, either of them. Mm-hmm. Yep. They do a lot of fucking complaining.
Well, one conference finals between the two conference finals between the two of them, both by Paul George.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's just they're too fucking similar. They're almost like the same guy in a different body. I'll give Embiid the fuck number 21. See, Alex, you gotta have a lot of work.
Unshun or Rishon, man.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, it's true. But Rishon for now. They're like the same guy, just in different bodies. Like I'm running out of sort of negative things to say about both of them, just in terms mm-hmm. of their vibe. Like you can base, most people base their opinions and sort of how you feel about people just off the vibe that they give, how good of a leader they are on a team, the sort of the intangibles that they bring every night. Like, I don't care about the personal accolades that both those guys have. Like you said, Embiid's an MVP, you know, that's fine. Multiple time all-star, Paul George, one of the sort of smoothest, most effective scorers that we've had in this league in the last little bit. I don't care about that. I want to know, are you going to win? Are you going to help my team win? Are you going to be an overall positive sort of influence in a locker room? And for both of those guys, I just think it's a no. And you know, the fact that James Harden, who is a guy I think is kind of cut from the same cloth in that respect as well, a guy who's got a lot of the personal sort of accomplishments in this league, but nothing really to show for it on the winning side. It's crazy that you swap him out and you think, oh, this is going to be improved now. Paul George, I think, is just sort of more of the same. And so, yeah, when you're looking at number 21, this kind of feels like a lost season for him. It feels like,
even when he's been healthy, he's had some good games, but like, same. He's not taking over the way he used to. Because again, I genuinely think he now just relies on the free throw attempts. Like, you want to talk about a fucking free throw merchant. Joel Embiid is maybe one of the only ones in the NBA. I would genuinely say that's all he does. And he's a fucking 7'1", 260-pound beast that could be down there. But I do think he's probably even in his own head. He's injured so much. Like, his body can't handle it.
Yeah, and he's 30 years old now. He is 30 years old. I don't think there's going to be this, oh, he's back, this is great, this has been great. He's the Sixers have given him, all this rest, time, and he's going to come back and finally have a dominant playoff run, which he's never had. Mm-hmm. We've never seen a true, Joel Embiid at full strength, dominating in the playoffs. I don't think that's around the corner for him now. I think it's too late. If anything, I think he's going to drop off, and pretty swiftly. And I think you're seeing the beginning of that. It's going to be just injuries and then ramping up and, not having the conditioning. Yeah. And then, like you said, with the free throw merchant stuff, no wonder you're injured all the time if you're falling on the floor the second anyone touches you to try and draw these fouls and get to the line. Like, it's the opposite of ethical basketball as well. What number 21 plays, and it's just I don't know what else to say about this guy. The shun is looking more and more. It's making more and more sense every day. And I stand by it with the Sixers team and number 21 in general. Until you make the conference finals, like, I'm kind of sick of talking about you guys. Like, they've been one of the most frustrating sort of confounding teams that we've had in the last like 10 years in the NBA.
Yeah.
And the one constant for this team that's been switching out, we had the Ben Simmons era, the Fultz era, the Harden era, everything. Mm-hmm. It's number 21. I think for as long as he's there, that's going to be the mood around this team. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's like, I there's been a lot of disappointing. I don't know if you want to, like, I would honestly say coming into the season, we could have called this Sixers team a super team, especially in today's era. Yep. Like, you don't really get the, like we talked about, like the big three era of the super
team. But their big three, I think you could argue at full strength, was one of the best. Probably the best in the NBA.
Yeah, 100%. It's up there.
Especially how they fit together.
Yeah. And And they made a lot of really good moves just to bolster their roster in the offseason as well. They got the veterans. They hit in the draft. Like, everything seemed good. Like, it was going in the right direction. Like, this has to be, honestly, in the last 15 years, like, one of the most disappointing teams I've ever seen. Like, I always think back to, like, the Lakers. I believe that was 20, 2012, 2013, when they got Dwight and Steve Nash to pair with Kobe and Meta and Pau Gasol.
Yes.
I'm going to say 2013 was the year. And that team was horrible to start. But again, back when there was no play-in, they still, I think, ended up finishing 7th, 6th, something like that.
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
And that was with Steve Nash injured most of the season. Dwight injured in and out of the lineup throughout the season. Kobe ends up, I believe that was maybe the first, that was his Achilles tear year. And then he ends up going out right.
12, yeah.
Yeah, right before the playoffs started. So then it was, not really that entertaining. But still, that team was super disappointed, heavily criticized. But they at least fucking made the playoffs. They were a top 8 team in the Western Conference even then. And again, that's Kobe Bryant, carrying one of the all-time greats. And that's why, we look back and it's like, Nikola Jokic probably should have won 3 straight MVPs.
Absolutely,
like,
should have.
In retrospect, because again, it was super close and really it was a voter fatigue kind of thing. And now you have number 21, who's going to be cemented in basketball history as, one of the best players of all time, because he won an MVP. And I think that, this is going to be one of those conversations when we're really fully old heads that we're going to have to say, Joel Embiid really was not that good. When you go back into it, if you watched him play, and same thing goes, I do think Paul George is going to get lost in the annals of time, honestly, because he has, like you said, nothing to show other than all-star appearances. I think he got a second in MVP voting. Maybe
he
was
did,
only third,
yeah, I was going to say.
With OKC. And again, when he was at his peak, when he was a legitimate star, was one of the most entertaining players in the league to watch. I thought he was going to have a great career. He's had a solid career, but you look at his stats this season, I honestly think maybe he's on his way out the door too. I know that we're talking about a lot of these guys that we kind of grew up watching, kind of starting to phase out of the league. He's dropped 5 points per game, dropped 5 points less in his scoring numbers. I think this is his lowest scoring season thus far. Again, we're only 27 games, or he's only played 27 games. We're about halfway through the season. This is his lowest scoring season, full season. I think since his rookie year, sophomore year, with Indiana, when he was not really looked at as anything other than a raw prospect. Assist numbers dropped, rebounding dropped. The defense really not there. And then the biggest thing, and again, in modern NBA, you have to be able to shoot the three. This is his worst 3-point shooting season since, he had the one blip in 2022, but again, that was an injury-riddled season. He only played 30 games. In a full season, he hasn't shot less than 37% in 10 years, and now you look at him, and he can't fucking buy a bucket. I just don't get how, a lot of times we talk about LeBron, the defense is what goes first, and that makes sense. You're playing against these 22, 23-year-olds. They've got so much gas in the tank. They're so explosive, so fast. Yeah, we don't expect you to be young forever, Paul George, but why is the jumper not working? Why is that broken now? Why can't you facilitate? Why can't you get into the paint and be crafty? There's just some of these guys that I think, like you said, they get complacent and they just don't really care anymore. And I think that the Sixers team's already rolled over. They're ready to be dead, which I really hate because Tyrese Maxey's a fucking hooper and I actually really like his game. And I kind of hope he gets out of there just like you mentioned, all those other guys who have come and gone and tried to find better situations, greener pastures. But I at this point genuinely think that you are better off trying to build around Maxey than Joel Embiid because I do think that he has that high of a ceiling. Maybe a bit of a limited player at this current junction. But yeah, this Sixers season, man, it's also just fucking brutal because that means with the Sixers probably not going to make the playoffs. There's going to be at least 1-2 teams in the East that make the playoffs that we're going to be holy fuck. Can we just do this as 16 teams, but it's the total top 16 teams? There's probably going to be 2 or 3 teams that get left out of the playoffs in the West that we'd way rather see in the playoffs.
Of course. Definitely. Yeah, 100%. It's not like with Paul George, the Paul George situation. You're like, we can maybe easily move off of him. We don't have him for that long. You signed him to a 4-year deal, for God's sakes. This is going to be through his age, 38 season, 37 season? Because he's already, let me double check here, 34 now. So, it's just
it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's I do feel bad for Tyrese Maxey, because like even in this latest game that they lost in overtime to New York, that's Embiid, he was great, and he plays super well, rises to the occasion in the playoffs. And you know, he's the one sort of bright spot on this team, plus Jared McCain this year, which again, it's you know, super unfortunate that he was out and is set to be out you know, now for the year, as far as I know. Although something about the Sixers not applying for that disabled player exception, which maybe could signal they might expect him back. But again, like, it'll be way, way down the line. And, and
as far as I heard, he was done for the year.
Me too. Me too. So I'm not, maybe I'm getting some, my hopes up or some bad info there, but you know, likely done for the year, which that was the rookie that legitimately won you games early in the year, which is just sucks so much for them that he's been out. But it's just like you've with Tyrese Maxey, it's like at what point is he gonna say, like you're saying, like, shit, maybe I would be better off somewhere else without all this drama, all this bullshit. I don't think that's gonna take him too long to get to that point. And you've hitched your wagon to two horses that don't want to be there, and all, you know, both their fucking back legs don't really work anymore. And Tyrese Maxey, he's the driver of the cart. He can, you know, smack them as hard as he wants with those whips. Like, they can only go so fast. So it's a bad situation in Philly, and it is annoying that they're even still in the race. Like you're saying, in a year where there was no play-in, you'd almost think like, shit, they're fucked. Like there's nothing they can do at this point. Yeah. Like at 11th, you know, all the way are already at this point in the season, like
with no
nine games under
500. They'd be five games back of Detroit.
Yeah. It wouldn't happen. So it's like, it's crazy that they're even still in this mix, but they are. Like, they could realistically sneak in there at the 10 or even get to the 9, depending on how things shake out, you know, and then, you know, you could maybe talk yourself into them really getting fully healthy and having their big heavyweight fight with either the Cavs or the Celtics or the Knicks, like right early on in the first round. But again, it's like, it's not the situation you want to be in. There isn't, you know, other than the Heat that did it, there's no real evidence for teams going from the play-in, making it all the way to the finals or making a deep run. It's just not realistic. So if you're the Sixers, like Matt, I've come up again in your style. I've come up with a bit of a trade here that admittedly it's not realistic almost in any way, because this involves the Pacers. This is a trade with the Pacers, and this is a.
Are you still on? I don't mean to cut you off. Are you still using the ESPN NBA trade machine? Or did you finally go to Fanspo?
I'm on Fanspo now. I've been converted to Fanspo.
I do like the layout of those old ESPN machines.
Same, yeah. I like them too. But Fanspo's. It's the new world. It's what we should all be using. It actually tells you in more detail why your trades won't work, which I appreciate. Yeah. You can trade the picks, all that. Shout out Fanspo. But so this is a feel good sort of sentimentality trade here. Okay, the Pacers get Paul George back.
Interesting.
The Sixers get fellow Cameroonian with number 21, Pascal Siakam, and we'll throw in Isaiah Jackson, a center, to make that work, who's injured, but you know, he's a decent young 6'10 guy who can play a little bit of the five. So my thinking behind this, and again, it's not realistic because the Pacers are playing better and they're not going to make some sort of panic trade, but you're getting Paul George in a situation where it's like, okay, the Pacers are kind of lacking in that number one, a closer. I think one edge where maybe you'd give Paul George over another player is his closing abilities, theoretically, over Pascal. I think he's got more experience doing that and is probably a little bit better at that.
I mean, Siakam's tried, but I think he might, someone broke down the numbers, he might be one of the least clutch players in the NBA.
Yes, exactly, which is a problem for the Pacers when it comes down to it. And I think, you know, theoretically, you could have Tyrese Haliburton sort of, you know, do his magic through the first part of the game. And then, you know, if it's close down the stretch, let Paul George kind of take over, which to his credit, he's been good at times in his career. They're both on 4-year contracts as well. Obviously Paul George a little bit older, but that's the idea. Also, you know, the homecoming, maybe it invigorates him, whatever. And defensively, Paul George will help them out as well. Pascal gets, you know, he comes over, gets to play alongside Joel Embiid, at least, bleep that out, Alex. Number 21, when they're both healthy. But, you know, Pascal is much more equipped to slide up to that five in a pinch than Paul George is. That's something he's done before. And you get Isaiah Jackson as well, some more center depth for when 21 inevitably is missing time. What do you think, Matt, of this pie in the sky last-minute trade idea?
I mean, I think it would be great if the Sixers wanted to. They get younger. They'd be paying about the same amount of money regardless by getting Siakam. And he probably does fit a lot better on that roster than Paul George does right now. For the Pacers, again, yeah, I kind of like that side of it. I would love to see Paul George be back there. We're 24 as well.
That'd be
cool. I was never a fan of the switch to 13. I like the 24 look on Paul George. I think it'd be a really interesting move. Again, like you said, like I don't think that this Pacers team that's been like coveting all their young talent. What's the word I'm looking for here? Heavily, whatever. Yeah, they've been very they've really had their hooks deep in all these prospects. I don't see them making a move like that for an older guy who again has a big contract, but. I do think the points you made are true that, yeah, he would be better at closing. He does add, he wouldn't really lose much in the way of, you know, playmaking or anything like that. Siakam is probably the better defender currently and rebounder, but the playmaking would be, I think, the advantage of Paul George, scoring advantage of Paul George. So it really would just be whatever direction that they would want to take their team. And then, yeah, like you said, you get more of a veteran presence. Obviously, Siakam's an NBA champion, so he knows what it's like to go through that the rigors of the playoffs. But he's never really done it as a number one guy. To the fucking conference finals last year. So, I mean, I guess he did, but not really.
He's like a 1B, even in that situation. But
yeah. It's actually kind of crazy. Like, I love Siakam. I still, you know, always will have a soft spot in my heart for him. But, man, they the more I watch of him now and he's off the Raptors and I don't have, like, my heart muddling kind of all my vision, I'm like, man, yeah, he's not that – it's not that good. He's not quite as good as I once thought. That one sweet year, 2020, what could have been? He was averaging like 25, 6, and 5 as a first.
An all-star starter, I believe.
Yeah.
All-NBA.
Oh, those were the days, man. Those were the days. But enough of those retrospects, enough of those trade talks. Fuck the 76ers, like I said, on the lead.
Yeah, fuck 21.
Fuck 21. Fuck 12, too. We don't fuck with the ops. Wink, wink. And to cap off the podcast here, Jordan, some sad news. Talk about a younger player in the league. One of the better young talents on a team that's really been struggling to kind of develop. And I thought was going to be at least frisky this year and maybe hovering around that play-in mix. Charlotte Hornets announced that Brandon Miller will be out for an indefinite amount of time due to a wrist tear. I believe that was the reported injury. Torn wrist ligament. Brutal, tough break for one of the best young offensive players in the NBA. A really versatile scorer, big body, can stretch the floor really well. A great pairing next to LaMelo Ball for the future, but. The Hornets, man, we talked about it. They've got to be up there with the Pelicans for one of the worst and most cursed franchises across the NBA. It's just
correct.
They never are able to be competitive. And even this season when, you know, they made some good moves, they made decent signings in the offseason, they drafted well, they're still one of the worst teams in the NBA, man. Like I just don't know what they have to do to fix things. Like I even when I look at the roster right now, like there's still a lot of depth. There's still a lot of guys on this squad that they can get good minutes out of. I mean, they just traded Nick Smith away to the Suns.
Nick Richards, right?
Nick Richards. Pardon me. Yeah, Nick Smith hasn't really panned out either from when he was supposed to be. Nick Richards gone as well, who was I thought one of their only kind of bright spots on this team, and now they have Josh Okogie. Like, great, good for you guys, I guess. It's just a brutal break for them, and we've like said before that, you know, maybe they need more veteran presence, but then, you know, they go and they get Grant Williams, which is not exactly what we were looking for. But yeah, I just don't know how many years they can keep doing this cycle where they get a star, still tank. Eventually, the guy gets sick and leaves, and then they draft a new star, tank. Like we did trivia not that long ago, earlier in the season, and you were quizzing me on how many playoff appearances they've made. since they returned back to Charlotte as the, the Bobcats and then transforming back into the Hornets. And it's like, in 20 years, whatever it's been almost, and it has been 20 years, over 20 years, you have like five playoff appearances to show for it. Like, that's fucking embarrassing.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, they're 100%. They're the team I think of when we're talking about cursed franchises. I always hate the moves that they make, like even to the point, of their draft selections. Like, I know they recently, had a little bit of a change up in ownership / management. And I think they've made some better choices more recently, like Brandon Miller, case in point. I think that was the first draft pick of theirs that I've liked in a long time. I still don't really know how I feel about LaMelo Ball. Like, I know he's a hot topic, you know, around the league all the time, talking people.
One
talking
of
about
the,
how tall he is.
Going to be a starting all-star potentially based on the fan vote.
Yeah, 100%. And that, I think that's the problem. Like, I think he's so great for getting fans, you know, in the building. He's such a popular guy, you know, on social media, great for the highlights. He's just clearly so far through his career, you cannot say he impacts winning in any sort of meaningful way. And so until that changes, I think there's only so much you can do. Because like you said, they've got a few more vets on this team, which really they haven't had, in proper role-playing vets in a while. But again, that hasn't seemed to make that much of a difference. Like, they got Seth Curry out there running around, Micic from the Thunder. Like, it hasn't made as much of a difference as even I thought it would. And you know, you were higher on them. I wasn't that high on them, but I didn't think they'd be this bad. I understand LaMelo's missed time. That's part of it also. And another reason why I'm still kind of looking sideways at LaMelo, cause he misses a lot of time as well. There's a great game. You know, they beat the Bulls by two in their last one out without Brandon Miller in this one. Mark Williams had 19 points and 19 boards. I think he's a really, intriguing young big. But again, why isn't this translating to more wins, more momentum, more,
man, they're
anything?
They're on a win streak right now.
Well, maybe this is the start of something. It's also another thing that kind of pissed me off about this team is Miles Bridges is just back in the fold and just playing. And why are you even doing that? Like, he's 26 years old. He's not a long-term fit on this team. Why is he out there as a vet to help you get more wins? That's clearly not fucking working. Like,
he's going to be featured on the next LiAngelo Ball track, man.
Oh, great. Yeah. Fantastic. It's just, I think they need to rethink sort of the type of players that they go after and how they want to run their team, just in terms of, we want to be this sort of exciting brand of basketball. Like, I want them to get more dogs in there, more guys who are, even more of a veteran presence in that locker room. We're going to really teach these guys to grow the fuck up. Like, they need someone, not just a vet, like, they need a vet who commands respect. Like, imagine if Chris Paul got in this Hornets locker room, if they like traded for someone like that, like how many fucking skulls he would crack and how sort of hard he would be on all these guys who are still just kind of running amok. Like, even if you look at like the shots that between LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller and then the rest of the team get, it's the most imbalanced thing I think in the entire league on any given night. It's just there's no sort of rhyme or reason to how they run these things. The Brandon Miller thing, he's one of their few sort of bright spots. One of the guys who you can say, with LaMelo, he works really well. They're obviously going to get another fairly high draft pick this year. But I think it's less about just assembling talent now, young talent. I think it's more about making sort of tough decisions, namely about LaMelo Ball, about a guy like Miles Bridges, and sort of just how you want to run your franchise, how you assemble it, the culture that you set. Cause right now it's not about winning, and it hasn't been. And there's a way for you to do it, like to still be a bad team, but say, look, we might not be winning games, but we're doing things the right way. They're not even at that stage yet. They're losing and they're seemingly doing things the wrong way still. In a sense that's just not really developing their guys into winning players. So, it's more of the same for Charlotte. Hopefully Brandon Miller can come back and build off the success he's had this season. Cause he has been quite good, but there's bigger issues that the Hornets are going to have to deal with eventually, or they're just it's going to be more of the same.
They're a candy ass team, man. They got a candy ass uniform like no team is ever going to win a fucking NBA championship with a goddamn turquoise and purple uniform set. I think they look nice, like, but I mean, like, they're not, like, that's not a winning team's uniform. I'm just saying, like, you never see a team in any sport win a fucking jersey with a candy ass uniform like that. Their players, like we said, they don't give a shit on the court. They're here just to get shots up, put some highlights out there on their Instagram reels, pick up some baddies on courtside, and then they've got these candy ass coaches. They always have random coaches every single year. Put a new guy in there, he gets his paycheck, he doesn't give a fuck. Cycle him out, whatever. And then the candy ass announcers, fucking, I don't hear stop skilly doo. Oh my god, a layup! Wow. I've said it on this podcast before. That fucking guy, whatever his name is for Charlotte, annoys the hell out of me. It's fun. Once in a while, I do want to see you get a little bit wild, but like, you don't have to fucking scream when it's a 22-35 blowout in a game that barely matters. The whole organization, the whole team, there's just nothing that I think that, like, if I was a fan of the Hornets, I'd be long dead. I don't think that I could stomach it. This just piss poor management, roster construction, and overall on-court production. Like, maybe bring back Kemba. I don't know. He's retired, I believe, at this point. But give him a shot. Let him try. Maybe he should come back as the coach. Coach Carter situation. He could whip them back into shape. Talk about how he used to duel Dwayne Wade in the playoffs, wearing an even uglier version of these candy ass uniforms. And Kemba was actually there during the Bobcats days, which those were just like one of the ugliest uniforms ever. The weird blue that's not quite a navy, and then they had the orange with the pinstripe. I'm like, God, fucking. Can we get Kemba Walker coaching and then have Al Jefferson sign him? Al Jefferson, Big Al would not let any of this shit stand.
No, and he'd still be good. He there was 100%. No athleticism to his game at all. He could still be playing right now. Get Jared Wallace in there too.
Oh fuck yeah, Jared Wallace was a one-time All-Star, man. He knows what he's doing.
Incredible. There's a lot of stuff they can do. But hey, like I said, since Michael Jordan's oh my god, remember he dunked on Dwight that one time when he was on the Lakers.
Yeah, he had some highlights, man. Awesome. Good shooter.
He was good. Yeah, and the one thing though that will always even make me the maddest about the Hornets is when the Raptors were starting to get good and the Hornets were absolutely a worse team than them, we would always lose to them. I don't know how. Even that one, the Kawhi year, that Jeremy Lamb fucking half court buzzer beater off the glass.
Jerry March Madness. Watch
that. That's a whole other level of hate I have for this organization. That's not going away.
Yeah, they did have the Raptors numbers there for a long time. That was
There was a game in Charlotte where Andrea Bargnani, when he was still on the fucking team, but it was when Kyle Lowry was there, when they were first starting to be somewhat okay. He went and like this mid-range baseline shot, Bargnani, for the win, completely airballed it, but he pretty obviously got fouled. Someone slapped him on his shooting arm. They were all freaked out about it. And then, of course, it came out in the last 2-minute report that he got fouled. Games like that. Just over and over against these fucks. So part of me is fine that they're cursed and they have to be led by LaMelo Ball, who also, he's going to kill someone driving. If you've seen the videos of him pulling out of the fucking
He ran over that one arena. Kid's foot.
He's crazy, man. He's crazy.
Swerve around the corner. Whoa. That's where we came from. But
look to the left.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here for the Hornets going forward. Going to be another long season for Charlotte fans out there. But whether you like them or not, give us a follow at Big Dog Ball Talk, Instagram, X, Facebook for the old heads, TikTok. If you're not in America, you can still give us a follow. I'm pretty sure I was on TikTok earlier today. I don't think the Chinese have gotten to me yet. We'll see. Good. Could happen still. But give us a follow. Stay up to date with the podcast and everything else that's going on with the show. And we will be back on Monday, maybe giving our all-star picks, official all-star special. Always get a lot of controversy drummed up for Jordan and I's all-star picks and selections. We always have our own process of qualification. And again, this is who we think should be all-stars, not a prediction on what the all-star game, what we think will actually happen, because that's very different. I believe the 1 year, Jordan, you had like Kyle Lowry starting or something. Last year, I didn't have
put him in there.
I didn't have LeBron even on my All-Star roster last year, but yep. then I had him in All-NBA, so I guess I made up for it, the Goran Dragic style.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a great, 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 great segment, so be sure to come and check that out. We'll be back on Monday. Matt Eichel, Jordan Flegel, Big Dog Ball Talk, and as my good friend Jordan always says.
Car troubles, man. Car troubles really make life hard.
Yes.
Just driving yesterday, noticed my exhaust pipe hanging dangerously close to the ground. So got to go out and fix that. Do I know how to fix that, Matt? No. But yes. I'm going to try. I'm going to drive her up onto the curb, get under there.
Set up Lloyd.
Hopefully Lloyd just passes telepathically some knowledge down to me. I doubt it, though. I doubt it.
Yeah, I always think so many things. I'm like, yeah, I should learn some skill, like an actual life skill that matters. And then I sit down and talk about 2012 Hornets players with you for an hour. So, someone's got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what our grandkids. What can you do? I can podcast. That's a skill.
Kind of.